to God. Praise God. We're going to work tonight in the Wonder of Wonders, the 119th Psalm. Just for a change of pace. Psalms 119, and we will begin with verse 49. And would you say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Hara hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Let's look again at 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And verse 56. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Praise God. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We bless your name, O God. We're thankful for all the goodness, all the bounty, all the strength of your word tonight. We're just glad to know you by the power of your word. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. All of these passages, all the divisions of this acrostic psalm have to do with the word of God, and every verse has a response concerning the word of God, and there is a sense or a personality or an aura about each of these divisions here, and it may strike you at a different time in a little different way, and such is the word of God, because as you break the bread, it feeds everybody in the house, and it's amazing how the word of God does that. It has something for the small ones and something for the elders, and it's just awesome. You know, I preached a hard word Sunday night, and I always think about the repercussions and the impact of that. But I got one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten before. Elder Sister Riggs met me here, and she said, I appreciate you for that strong word. Now, you couldn't have given me $100,000, and it meant more than that to me. I love an affirmation, a word of affirming power from these elders. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. Not going back, and we don't want to be looking over our shoulders a lot, but I sure do appreciate our elders, and I'm glad that they love a revival church, and I'm glad that they like a straight word. Praise God. But I also had some children come up and said, I'm glad, I appreciate the good preaching of the word tonight. Well, I'm glad for that. I don't need a pat on my back. I'm glad. If you all hated the word that I preached, I'd still preach it. I mean, that's, you don't like the process when the surgeon's working on you, but you'll like it afterwards if he does a good job. Praise the Lord. This portion of this psalm is very interesting, especially these passages that we've read a couple of times here. Verse 54, thy statutes, or the word of God, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And he talks about things that he has possession of, or powerful things that are components of his life's journey through this earthly process. And I want to suggest to you tonight that the house of our pilgrimage is this physical house, this physical temple. It's interesting. I got a call this evening, and Sutton talked to someone, and there's a kid that helped us pack up and helped us move to Birmingham, and he was one of my school kids over in Baton Rouge, and he rode the 400 miles over here in a flatbed truck and helped us unload and stood on the porch and wept because his friend was leaving. And life was changing, and life just does that. Tonight we got a call. He's got cancer in his liver and cancer throughout his body, and they haven't given him much hope at all about that. And his earthly pilgrimage is coming to an end. Now, the bottom line is that all of our pilgrimages will come to an end. And when you're very young, it's hard to really get a hold of that and see that. But it doesn't matter if you're old or young. We could, last week or week before last, a young man that was 31 years of age died in his sleep over in Atlanta in a situation that is peripheral to this church and some of our church family here. And I've been down to the graveyard with wee little babies and with kids in like 10 or 11 and young, strong men of 19. And it doesn't matter at all. The percentages are that we're probably going to live a life expectancy, and there are the averages there. But we are on a pilgrimage, and this world is not our home. And we're from somewhere else, and we're going somewhere else. And this life's journey is a process and a passage through possibility and potential, and it's a way to find out who we are in the kingdom of God and to become sons and daughters of God. Now make all the money you can, get all the education that you can, be excellent in everything that you do, but never lose sight of this. There's not a thing you'll accomplish or you'll do in this world, not a dollar that you make or a building that you'll build, not a device that you'll create or a system that you'll construct that will go out of this life with you, but only those things that you do that are pertinent to the kingdom of God and things spiritual. You are on a pilgrimage. I hope you live well. I hope you eat well. I hope you are housed well. I hope you travel in finery. I hope you have everything and that in abundance. But remember, you can't take it with you when you go. You're in a house for a pilgrimage. There's a set amount of time. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Well, praise God. And tonight I went and I prayed with a gentleman I'd never met before, and he's at the end of his journey. His house is wearing down and breaking down. And we had prayer in that room, and I prayed with Sister Stella, and she's up in her 80s, and we don't know how long she's going to be with us. We hope God will raise her up, and she's with us for a while more because she's precious, and we love to see those elders coming in. But we all know we can't stay here forever, and we all know we can't take this with us when we go. So what is all this about? That is a sad thing that we have people sitting in darkened rooms in this city tonight with a drink in their hand or drugs in their system or depression on their heart. And they're asking that perennial question of mankind that's been asked for the ages. Is this all that there is? They've been handling the stuff. They've been dealing with the minutiae of life. They've been trying to make it all make sense. But down at the end, whether they've been successful or whether they've been failures, they all come to the same place when it dawns on them. Is this all that there is? And the answer is no. This is not all there is. You're living in a house, and it's a house God gave you for a pilgrimage, a journey from one point to another. We're going somewhere. We're going to stand in eternity with God. Well, praise God. Anybody enjoying your pilgrimage? Anybody enjoying your journey? Praise God. Praise God. But the psalmist says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Some people are sick and tired in the house of their pilgrimage. They're not loving the journey. They're singing the blues. They have a song, but it's a sad song. But this psalmist said, the word of God gives me something that causes me to sing in the house of my pilgrimage. This psalmist knows that he's going to live and he's going to die. This psalmist knows that nothing gold can last. This psalmist understands, but he said, I've got a song, I'm on my way, and while I'm on my way, I'm singing. While I'm on my way, I've got a song in my heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The word of God is the source of my song, and the word of God is the source of my hope. Dustin, if you'd give us Hebrews 6 and verse 19. It is amazing what hope will do in your life. And it's a terrible, terrible thing to live in despair. But everybody say, which hope? We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. I can't see over into the other side where God is in all of his splendor. And I can't see over there where the angels are standing. I can't even see down the timeline other than a little glimpse of the word of God, say in the book of Revelation or one of the ancient prophets. I get a little glimpse there, but I really can't see. It's all on the other side of the veil. It's all on the other side of a place where I have yet to pass to. But I've got something over there. You can put up stuff over there, by the way. Jesus said, my recommendation is that you lay up treasure on the other side. He said, thieves can't get in over there, and rust doesn't happen over there. And he said, you can lay up, I want to tell you tonight, you can lay up hope on the other side. I said, you can lay up hope on the other side. And that hope that you put up on the other side is an anchor for your soul. Life is going to come at you with a lot of counter and powerful and wrenching stormy winds. Life is going to try to push you off the base of your faith. But your hope becomes an anchor through the veil. What's holding you up? Well, I can't really tell you, but it's my hope in what's over there on the other side. What's keeping you going? Why are you still singing in the middle of this gale force wind? I've got a song in my house. I'm on my pilgrimage because I have hope. Everybody say, I have hope when trouble comes my way. I have hope. Oh, yes. Since Jesus has come to stay. We're not going to sing it all, but I've got hope. Shake somebody by you and tell them, I've got hope. Tell somebody, I've got an anchor through the veil and into that holy place of God. My God, has anybody ever been hit by a cosmic bus? You've been walking through your life, bam, and something just ran over you and your house, but you didn't go down and you didn't die from it because you had an anchor that passes through the veil. My God, I've got a song in this house of my pilgrimage. I've got a song, and it's a song of hope. But the world's in trouble. Yeah, it is. I mean, you folks are lunatics. Don't you know the world's in trouble? Yeah, the world's in trouble. But I'm not of this world. I'm just in this world. I'm on temporary assignment here. I'm on a pilgrimage, you see. And this world's not my home. Shake your neighbor and tell them, this world's not my home. Tell them, you can leave that house to somebody else. You can leave all that money I got in that savings account to somebody else. You can leave my millions to somebody else. What millions? This world's in trouble, but the church is not in trouble, and God's not in trouble, and the Word of God is not in trouble. I've got a song. My God, I've got hope, and it's a song down in my soul. Oh, clap your hands and shout unto God. We don't march to the beat of their drummer. And we don't see with their eyes, and we don't hear with their ears. And something that makes them sad makes me excited. Don't you know we're on our way into World War III? Whoa, bring it on. Bring it. Don't you know there's a nuclear holocaust at hand? Bring it on, bring it on. Put a zero and a bullseye on my house. Haven't you read they're going to cut off the heads of believers? I'll go first. Now, see, you think I'm pulling your leg. My advice about that, son, is talk in tongues till your head hits the basket. And see if you can't talk in tongues after your head hits the basket. Talk about freak them out. I've got a song in the house of my pilgrimage. I've got hope. And the last verse of that section said, this I had because I've trusted in your precepts. This I have because I trust in your word. Let me tell you, if you need a song in your life tonight, you've got to get a relationship with the word of God. If you want a song in your life tonight, you've got to get a relationship with the statutes and the principles and the constructs of the word of God. It won't come any other way. This world can make you sing for a little while. And this world can lure you in to their siren song of temptation and trouble. But friend, if you want a song that'll keep you singing all the way, you gotta have a relationship with the word of God. If you do, you shout tonight, I've got a song. Tell your neighbor, I've got a song of hope. And point your finger at him and tell him it's because I trust in the word of God. My God, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. We have an anchor, and it is steadfast. Life's going to come at you. Something's going to come out of the blue and strike you at the very base of your faith. If you don't have an anchor, you're going to go down. You need that hope that God has promised us. Romans 8 and 24, Brother Dustin. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, we're saved by hope. Now, I understand the Acts 2:38 message. And this is not anywhere in the arena of, I hope I am. Are you right with God? I hope I am. Are you living right? Oh, I hope so. Are you ready to meet God? I really hope so. My God, you better not lay your head down and go to sleep tonight unless you know that you are. This is not hope like rabbit's feet and crossed fingers, and the black helicopters are coming for you right now. Bring it on. Bring it on. No, but this is hope that is born of an experience in the Word of God. This is hope that is powerful, an entity like faith. The last line of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And now abideth faith and hope and love. This kind of hope is strong hope, a proactive thing that is alive in you, that's like faith. It's down in your heart and you're looking up, and it makes you sing, and it makes you have a knowledge of the power of God. We are saved. Everybody say, we're saved by hope. And I have a song of hope in my heart. Let me tell you something. If you don't have that, despair will find you out. If you don't have that, depression will come knocking on your door. If you don't have hope down in your heart, because it is a part, if there is a holy trinity the word of God has given us, it is faith and hope and love. Now, there's only one God, but you better have faith, you better have hope, and you better have love. Well, praise God, because trouble's going to know your name, and the devil's going to check you out. You stood in this altar, and you said, God, I'm going to live for you all the way. He's waiting outside the door to see how for real you really are, and he's going to meet you there. If you don't have this thing down in your heart, you're not going to be able to stay for the long haul. I'm telling you, I've got a song in my house of my pilgrimage that's going to last me all the way through. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise God. There's some houses that won't last. And then there's houses that are built on a rock. And we're going to be saved by this hope. You better have this hope in your life. If you find yourself tripping over your bottom lip, you better find the reason why and find the remedy for it. You can't be acquiescent to that kind of pressure and just let the prevailing winds of life just blow you around everywhere and make you wind up anywhere. No wonder you're tripping over your lip, and no wonder you're a sad Sally or a sad sack. No wonder you're talking to your friend, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm just so sad. Well, friend, the kingdom of God is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't make God a liar. He said, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. There's a remedy in the Word of God. You need a relationship with the Word of God. Not a passing knowledge. Not a knowledge from days gone by. But a today, right now, in my life, knowledge and relationship with the Word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse 50. Everyone say, this is my comfort in my affliction. We're back in Psalms 119, Dustin. For thy word hath quickened me. Quickened means to give life to. Your word has made me alive. I'm so glad we're not a part of a dead thing, a dead church, a dead kingdom, but I'm glad his word has made me alive. You say, I feel like I'm a little draggy. I feel like I'm losing my traction. I want to tell you, the word of God will make you alive. Has the power to quicken you. And this is my comfort in affliction. This song of hope that God has given me is my comfort in my affliction. This is a psalmist who says, I've got a song, I've got hope, I've got comfort. But he also says, I'm getting afflicted. Now you can go down the road over here and they'll tell you that if you really are a child of God, you never will be afflicted. And if you are afflicted, it's because you're not really a child of God. You having trouble in your life? This whole house full of people that are like the friends of Job. They've come to tell you if you've got trouble in your life, it's your fault. And I'm open to the fact that if you diverge and you go your own way and you quit following after the word of God, you can step off in a stump hole and really hurt yourself. And a lot of people are having all kinds of trouble because they're not obedient to the word of God. And it's easy to walk into that. But I mean, if you're living for God and you're doing the very best you can, I want you to understand that that song and that hope and that comfort are going to be powerful for you in a time of affliction. Affliction is just part of life. And affliction can come to you from the hand of God. He chastens all those that he loves. And no chastisement is pleasant in the moment that is being given. But there's not a one of you that had a hearty disciplinarian as a mom or a dad that now that you're an adult, you haven't stood and said, I tell you what, it wasn't like that around my house. My mom, my dad, they got after me with a hickory stick or whatever you say. You say something like that. And you approve of them now, don't you? How many of you got beatings when you were a kid and now you approve of them? Now, some of you are still mad about it. I'm still mad about it. No, you approve of it, but it wasn't pleasant at the time. And God will send you some affliction, and the world will send you some affliction, and your enemy might send you affliction. regardless of the derivation of the affliction, the word of God said, I've got comfort when the affliction comes to me. I've got a song of comfort in my life. My God, if I'm sick in my body, there's going to be a better day. If I've got trouble in my family, I know God's on my side. I know God's in my corner and I can go another round. You need to get up and you need to begin to sing that song tonight. You don't need to give way to that affliction and begin to whine and cry and say, why me? Why me? You need to open your mouth and say, I'm on my way. I'm just passing through. And I know there's going to be trouble. And I've met some hard times. But I've got comfort when I'm weary. I've got a song in this house. Do you have a song in your house when you're standing in a place of affliction? Are you a Christian crybaby? Somebody else got the promotion. Somebody else got the job. Somebody else driving the big car. Somebody else won life's lottery. And here I am doing my best. And I get the leftovers. I get the hand-me-downs. And I'm so pathetic, aren't I? You need to have a song in your life, not that song. Your song doesn't need to be a song that sounds like the blues. My God. Everything's wrong since I started living for God. Everything wrong since I started living for God. Oh, my wife, my dog, my best friend all left me. It must be this church or something. That's not the song of hope and comfort. And that won't get you through affliction. The devil doesn't need to fool with you. You afflict yourself. You're beating yourself. You need to get up on your feet and say, I've got a God. I've got a promise. I've got the word of God. You can't do this without the word of God. You can't do this with your natural mind. You can't do this looking at the circumstances. You can't gauge your relationship with God by any other criteria than the word of God. I know God loves me because God died for me. I know God's coming back. My God, Israel's in the land. I know God is on my side. The word of God has said so. Somebody say praise the Lord. Push your neighbor and say, I've got a song in the house of my pilgrimage. Tell them it's a song of hope. It's a song of comfort. Paul said that you can comfort others with the same comfort wherein you have been comforted. If you hadn't been through anything, you can't help anybody that's going through that thing. Because they're looking at you saying, yeah, but you don't know the trouble I've seen. But it's awesome when somebody comes up and says, man, I've had that same experience. And let me tell you what God's done for me. And you start singing your song to them. And you start telling them, yeah, but God brought me through. God brought me out on the other side. And you know I'm better than I ever was before. God is my hero. God is my strength. God is my salvation. Praise God. Now, this psalmist has the hope and has the comfort because he has the word of God and a relationship in the word of God. The last verse. This I had because I kept thy precepts. It's the word of God that makes you strong. It's the word of God that makes you sing. It's the word of God that's going to keep you when trouble comes to your door. Praise God. Praise God. I had a message, and I'm going to call the young man. I had a message tonight concerning a meeting that's going on once a week over on Chalkville Road. It's called The Basement. And they're getting upwards of 1,000 kids there one night a week. And there's a moving of the Holy Ghost there. And some people are getting the Holy Ghost there. And there's music there. And there's electricity there. But there's very little of this there. When they walk out the door, Nothing's going to keep them but this. I want to talk to our kids. Don't be deceived. Big numbers and great excitement can be found at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Big numbers and great excitement make you feel goosebumps when they sing the national anthem down at Auburn. I'm just telling you, you can find that at the World Series. Ooh, Holy Ghost must be a baseball fan because I feel goosebumps. No, patriotism is a spiritual component. And it'll make you feel some things that are similar to a visitation of the Spirit of God. But don't mistake that. And know this, that nothing's going to keep you but the Word of God. You won't have hope that'll keep you, an anchor for your soul. You won't have comfort in the time of affliction just because you've had a scintillating spiritual experience. If you know anything about the Spirit, it's like water running through a pipe. It's only as strong in you as it is presently running through you. I'm not diminishing the power of the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you what, it takes all of these things, all of these parts, to make an experience of God a powerful and viable and redeeming experience. Praise God. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, but you've got to have the Word of God. And the psalmist said, I've got this comfort because of the Word of God. Verse 52, and David said, or rather the psalmist said, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I remembered what God did in his Word in times of old, and I've comforted myself. Anybody ever been in trouble? Down in a valley of sickness or trouble, and you've made a mistake and you've walked off in a place where you've been oppressed or you've been troubled, but you remembered the Word of God and you were able to lift up your head and said, and you're able to say, I'm going to live through this and I'm going to stand for God another day and I'm going to be better in the kingdom of God than I've ever been because you comforted yourself. There's a story in the Word of God about David, and David is at a little town called Ziglag, and while he and the men are gone off into battle, the enemy comes through Ziglag and steals all their possessions and ruins their homes and takes away captive the ladies and the children, and when they come back, the men are so brokenhearted about the loss of their homes and their families, they're ready to mutiny and to stone David. But David goes off by himself, and the Bible just says this: David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, I'm glad for the people of God, and I'm glad for every comforting word. And I'm glad for every hand on my shoulder. And I'm glad for every prayer that God's people pray for me. I'm glad that through the years, the people of God have been faithful. And they'll stand there with you when you're down at the hospital or you're down at the graveyard. And I appreciate and I thank God for his people tonight. But I just got to tell you, it won't be that the people of God can always be there for you and actually carry you through. Because I've seen situations where the people of God have rallied around the life of someone who was crashing spiritually, but they weren't able to pull them out from an external position. Something during this pilgrimage has to get down inside of you. This thing has to be real. I thank God for the church, but the church won't be able to carry you through. Not always. I thank God for the preacher, but the preacher won't be able to make the difference for you. I thank God for good friends, but a good friend can't carry you through a place that you don't have the strength of spirit to walk. Well, praise God. You got to get this down inside of you. But this psalmist said, I've got it inside of me. He said, I was in a hard place, but I comforted myself. I remembered the Word of God. What do you do if you can't remember his word? What do you do if you've said, oh, I've already tried the Word of God? There's some places in life where you won't find comfort. You won't find solace. And you'll wonder. And you'll just be broken. And the rest of your pilgrimage will be a disaster of despair. And you'll be miserable here. And you'll be miserable on your exit from this life. And there will be no Soulless, there'll be no help. This has got to get down inside of you. He said, I had that because I kept your precepts. In a time of trouble, I had the word. I'm so excited about these little kids memorizing the word of God. I'm so excited about these children committing the word of God to their hearts. I'll just tell you right now, and some quizzers in this house will be able to affirm that. There'll be a day you'll be standing in a place where you feel like you're closed in and everything has come against you and you don't have an answer. And that word of God will begin to surface in your life and begin to preach to you a word of hope and a word of comfort and a word of strength. God, help people that don't have a relationship with your word. God, pity people that don't have a personal relationship with the word of God. Praise God. Jesus said there's two houses. One's built on a rock. He's talking about his word. And one's built on the sand. And he said the storm's going to come. It's inevitable. The storm will visit your life. But he said the one that was built on the rock, it stood during the long night of the storm. The one that was built on sand, the foundation was breached and the security was broken and it fell. And it says, great was the fall of it. It's a terrible, terrible thing to see a life in ruin that once stood in the kingdom of God. That only happens when there's a departure from the counsel of the word of God. How did I get here? How did I get like this? You took another path. You saw something attractive. You begin to pursue something else. And you, in your mind and in your heart, if you're intellectually honest at all, you know you just departed from the word of God. Just as sure as you did and lost your strength, you can return to it and regain your strength. Because the word of God is your hope and is your comfort and is your song. Everybody say, praise the Lord. You can comfort yourself and remember the judgments of the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Verse 54. Well, we'll just read through verse 52. Everybody say, I remember the judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Anybody in the house just this week, have you done that? Have you pulled up from the treasures of the word of God and exercised your right as a child of God and opened your mouth and began to speak the word of God? And have you seen the power begin to move in your life? The word of God is good for every season and every situation. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs and the house of my pilgrimage. Praise God. Verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. It's interesting to me. You'll lose sight of his name if you lose sight of his word. You have to know this. As much as we emphasize the name of Jesus, that is a dispensational revelation. And God has revealed himself as many things. And the name of Jesus is Joshua, Yeshua, or God has become our salvation. And when he returns, John said, and he had a name written, which no man knows but he himself. And as we emerge into that next dispensation, there'll be another name because the revelation of the greatness of God never stops. Jesus is the name for these 2,000 years in this dispensational period. But he's got a name written, and the revelation continues. But the word says he's exalted his word above his name. Praise God. You'll lose the name of Jesus in your life and the power of it if you separate yourself and don't hide the word of God down in your heart. Can we make our way down to the altar tonight? Would you come? If you're a visitor, just come on with us. We're just going to come down and pray a little while. Praise God. Sister Bonnie, can you sing that? I have. Come on down around the altar. I have hope. That's right. When trouble comes my way. That's going to be high. Mickey Mouse. Warren could sing that, but I couldn't. Come on down around the altar and then lay your hands on somebody and just begin to praise and worship God. I've got a song in the house of my pilgrimage. God, I don't know how long I'm going to have this house. And I don't know the day that I'll lay this house down. But I know this, I've got a song that's going to last all the journey of my life. Mighty God, mighty God, I've got a song. I've got comfort. Hallelujah.
When trouble comes my way,
I have hope.
I have hope. Oh, yeah.
Since Jesus.
Since Jesus has come to stay,
I have hope.
I have hope.
I have hope.
I have hope.
And it's a beautiful
hope. It's a beautiful hope.
And it sets me free.
It sets me free.
Praise God. Could you love him tonight if he's given you a song and he's given you hope? You've got comfort in your life.
When trouble comes my way.
I have hope.
I have hope.
Oh, yeah. Since Jesus.
Since Jesus.
I have hope.
I have hope. Oh, yeah.
Even when things are not well with me,
I have hope.
It's a beautiful hope. Now, I want you to turn to somebody and you got to sing to them because you've got a song in the house of your pilgrimage. I have hope. Sing. When trouble comes my way, I have hope. Oh, yes. Yes, sing since Jesus has come to stay. Oh, I have hope. Oh, yes. Even when things are not well with me, oh, I've got a hope. It's a beautiful hope. It sets me free. Come on, is there a witness in the house? Will God put a song in your heart and will your hope be an anchor? Praise God. Glory to God. It's a great, great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And I'm so thankful for his word tonight. Praise God. Now listen, if you've never had a home Bible study, you need to have one. And if you've never taught a home Bible study, this is a great year for you to teach one. It really is. And you can't start too young. And you know, you learn more teaching than you'll ever learn as a student. Praise God. Now, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're taking church directory pictures. If you don't have your commitment or your appointment already, talk to Sister Amber. Friday night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to meet with the youth committee here. I need to meet with all of the youth committee team, the youth team, on Friday at 7 o'clock. Now, the calendar says that's a leadership team, and this is just for the youth team. So, God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you make your way out tonight. Isn't it great to be a part of the kingdom?